This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I know time and perspective, time, space, and perspective will maybe not change how we look back at this spring, but certainly will help us to see the silver linings. It's hard sometimes when you're in the middle of things to see the positives. I feel that way sometimes. It's generally easier for me, just my personality, and I have to snap myself out of it, but it's easier for me to start to list all the negatives, and I have to force myself to, in some cases, speak out loud the things that I'm thankful for. And as the days go on, it feels like it takes so much effort to be optimistic sometimes. I mean, I'm on the roller coaster ride of emotions, but I've said that to friends of mine who are far less emotional than me generally, and they've agreed that, yeah, this spring has led to a roller coaster of emotions. And as the days go on and they stretch on, you just, hey, can I please just see the light at the end of the tunnel? And I was hoping for that. I'm feeling a little bit down about the fact that the NHL is still 6 weeks away from its training camp, because I was thinking, oh my gosh, this will be great. They'll come back in July. It's going to be so much fun to have this different Stanley Cup playoff format, but also to fill this void, you know, and we're only a month out. I think that was kind of the deal, as I was saying to myself, we're only a month out. We're going to have a hockey soon. Now, June 1st is the date that the NBA has targeted for releasing its plan. So we should see something from the NBA soon. I just don't know how smart it is. And maybe they don't have choices. Okay. So if it's health and safety and medical officials and they don't have choices, okay, then it's out of their hands. But it does seem like we have a prototype, at least loosely, from the other sports that have returned and are getting ready to return, for how they can go through the health and safety checks and the quarantines initially to make sure they don't have the virus and then get back together. It's a lot more logistics when you're talking about team sports. So I don't want this to be all about me, but I was definitely disappointed to see that it could be another 6 weeks even before the NHL gets back on the ice to start to get back in game shape again. I don't know what the NBA is going to say, but baseball, we're looking at you. Baseball is a sport that lends itself better to not spreading the virus around, at least in terms of it not being a contact sport. I mean, I know they share dugouts, they share clubhouses, for the travel, at least they would, you know, they'd have to travel together. All of those spaces can be professionally cleaned, will be professionally cleaned. But what have we heard from football players? You're mixing it up, blood, sweat, tears, all of that, the bodily fluids, basketball, same thing. And hockey too, although they generally wear more than basketball players do. But with baseball, I was thinking, this is the team sport where it wouldn't be as difficult to navigate all the health and safety protocols. I mean, if UFC can do it, it's fewer people, but if UFC can do it on a smaller scale, I feel like baseball should be able to do it as well, just by the nature of the sport. I'll be darned. Who says that? No one. My grandmother. I'll be darned if they aren't going to mess this up. Doesn't it feel like that? They're going to mess this up. They are. Leave it to baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. They built up so much goodwill. And I just can't believe the line from Scott Boras in his email to his clients. Remember, games cannot be played without you. While that is true, you know what else is true? If you play no games, you get no money. Nada. Zero. How is that productive? Games cannot be played without you. Well, duh. But they've already agreed that they only get paid for games they do play. And what he's saying to them is, don't blink. Don't give in. Make the owners take the hit. And I said on last night's show, I don't agree with characterizing this as a second pay cut. The prorated salaries thing is not a pay cut. For the majority of human beings, we get paid for the work we do. It just so happens that baseball is that sport out there where it doesn't matter if you're playing or not playing, you still get paid these massive guaranteed salaries in some cases. Because of no salary cap, this is what happens. But it's not a pay cut. You're getting paid for the work you do. I'll just keep going back to my bottom line, which is what's worse than taking less money to play baseball is getting no money because you're not playing any baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe I'm alone on my island, but that's how I feel about it. And I feel like, in addition, Scott Boras is stoking the fire. Maybe because he stands to lose a bunch of money, but also because if the union is less powerful, if the players give an inch, well, that takes away from his power as well. So he's not necessarily thinking about 2020. He's thinking about big picture and the long-term implications. But screw that. Right now, it's survival. The United States of America, the economy is a mess, and baseball can be part of the healing process, both financially as well as for the hope and the excitement and the fun, the distraction that it gives to Americans, something to look forward to for baseball fans. Forget next year and the year after that. Forget 5 years down the road. It's one of those times when you have to deal with the here and now. And you can't think long term, because if you think long term, we may not ever make it out of this. So it's so self-serving. I don't like his approach. Because really it's about not caving, not compromising. And not compromising doesn't work in 2020. It just doesn't. We all have to give something. We all have to sacrifice and compromise and give a little. We have to. We have no choice. Otherwise, we won't get out of this. Why should baseball players be any different? Why should baseball be any different? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. While I'm thinking of mortgages, I now have one. Thank you for all of your kind words and your fun comments on our Facebook page about, well, I didn't post a picture of the house, but I posted a picture of my welcome home flowers. I love peonies. I didn't know the house had peonies when I bought it, and now the peonies are blooming all over the front flower bed, and they're gorgeous. They're bright pink, and they smell so good. It's like heaven smiling down on me and saying, here, it's your housewarming gift. So you can check it out if you want to look at our Facebook page. And then on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, many of you have sent kind words, spent time to encourage me and support me, and that means a lot. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. No lawn care stories, though, to pass on this edition of the show. Paul is in Oregon. Paul, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome. Thank you. First time caller. Cool.
So I'm calling. I used to live in Tampa, and so at a Tampa home game, you'd get maybe 9,000 to 11,000 people at an average game, unless right. it's Yankees or Red Sox fans.
Uh-huh.
Well, I believe that they don't want to play baseball this year, and in actuality, you're going to take baseball from Florida. Either the Marlins or the Rays are going to relocate. I truly believe that. They've talked about moving them to Montreal in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Blake Snell is just is a black eye for baseball. I don't even know if Scott Boras is his represents him. But I truly believe if this doesn't happen for baseball, one of the Tampa or the Marlins will relocate next year.
So relocate, not be contracted. You're not talking about the franchise getting wiped out. You're talking about them moving somewhere else because of the financial ramifications?
Yes. I believe that the owner will sell the team, or the Marlins owner. I don't know if it's Derek Jeter or not, but I believe they will get relocated out of Florida. Unless it's like a Yankees or Red Sox game, they never draw.
Mm. Well,
the worst feeling is to see Yankee fans in the third base row cheering for A-Rod for hitting a home run when you're at a game. Makes me sick.
So I don't know if that happens, but I do know what you're talking about, the challenge of fans, except the Rays at times have had some, like even last season, the Rays were a nice surprise. And I am wondering if you see a greater increase in fans when they're winning, because a lot of times fan bases are much more excited to attend games and shell out money if the team is successful.
What Tampa fans do, they'll wear their Yankee fan, Yankee jerseys to the game, and if the Yankees lose, they take them off on the way home and wear the Rays jerseys. That's what they do. They're transplants there.
Of course. I mean, it's similar. Not just New York, but it's very similar. That migration from colder climates to Florida is similar to what you get in Arizona, where a lot of the, and I know this because my aunt lives in Tucson, where a lot of the people who live in Arizona are also transplants from Minnesota, from Wisconsin, from some of the colder climes that are farther west in the country. So yeah, I mean, it's not that different. A lot of people who get older, they don't want to live in cold weather climates. So I get it. Plus you've got the spring training complex as well, which attracts more fans. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I feel like you make one really good point. The ripple effects of 2020 and its impact on sports will be felt for years to come. It's not going to be self-contained here in 2020. So also funny that you mentioned Blake Snell and his representation, Paul, because right after he had his whole rant on Twitch, which we're going to hear momentarily, he had his whole rant on Twitch about how he won't take less money. He fired the agent he had and hired Scott Boras. Isn't that, I don't believe in coinky dink, but certainly Blake Snell's perspective about refusing to take a pay cut is in line with Scott Boras. So Boras is now Blake Snell's agent. I wonder if Scott Boras agreed to represent him. I mean, he just signed a new contract extension, so it's not like Boras has needed to negotiate. But I wonder if he was on Boras's radar after his Twitch rant. And you are going to hear it again soon, because he is one of our candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame. This is how it works. We give you four different rants. We give you four different pieces of audio that we want you to listen to, laugh at, make fun of, and then tell us which one deserves to be inducted into the Hall of Flame. And yes, that includes Blake Snell. So the candidates are coming up. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's where you can take the poll. Also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our final show of the week, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We're talking about practice.
On After Hours, the biggest meltdowns in sports history.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Playoffs?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I want to eat his children.
Are immortalized with an infamous distinction.
Can't do it.
They are who we thought they were.
You play to win the game.
Now it's time for Amy Lawrence to bring you tonight's candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flav.
Put that in your practice, folks.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
He's an idiot.
It's unbelievable what they did!
It was a stroke.
The difference between party and being out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called maturity. It's your job.
What in the f*** was that?
Like through a tin horn, man.
All I see is ass.
No days off! No days off!
Take that for data.
Navy actually stuck her finger up her nose.
The ref really wasn't even listening to nothing that I was saying.
For what? I didn't know.
Why don't you just run it? You know, just that's a really good thought.
I tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes.
He's an idiot.
A rude tube.
Listen to that!
Bend over backwards and be honest and direct with you guys, and you stick it right up my and the team. But I'm sick of it.
I'm here, so I won't get fined.
LAPD was called.
If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up.
I apologize to Draymond Green and his mom.
Stop it right now! We will stop this tournament! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous!
Hey! I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you!
We're still here! We're still here!
Our roster looks great on paper. Whoopty hell. All right?
They're very fiery under the covers.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable.
Man, it's been a long time since we've done a Hall of Flame induction. It's very different from the Hall of Fame, but it still makes you immortal, those of you who are inducted. And we've got four candidates. My goodness, I had forgotten about that latest Mike Leach rant. But also, it's kind of fun to remember Coach Orgeron and the press conference he was doing. And we have fun with the Hall of Flame, and we want you to get involved. So we've got four candidates. And we think it's past due to induct someone new. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You want to find our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and our Facebook page. And that is how you vote. Let's dive right in. Earl Thomas. Well, you remember Earl Thomas and the saga with his wife and how he and his brother got caught cheating with some women at an Airbnb, and the wife showed up with a gun and there were knives and there was video, and somehow it escaped going public for several weeks. But once it did go public, Earl Thomas felt as though he should get in front of it with an Instagram explanation.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about this, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know,
no.
We try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. You know, I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
Stuff like this happens, bro. I will never forget that line from Earl Thomas ever. Stuff like this happens, bro. And as I say, I'm not exactly sure which stuff he was referring to. The group sex, the gun, the knives, the video, TMZ. Oh my gosh. Stuff like this happens, bro. Earl Thomas, you are candidate number one for the After Hours Hall of Flame. Moving on, Dana White, anytime Dana White does a press conference, there's always a chance he's going to be bleeped out. But he was asked about a particular reporter at a recent press conference in Jacksonville. And it was kind of funny to hear how little he cares. Me thinks he doth protesteth too much.
There was an article in the New York Times today that was very critical of the execution of
that guy.
You know what happened with that guy? That guy, who's never covered the sport ever before, was writing a story about Endeavor. And then the UFC was one of the Endeavor, you know. And what do you think happened when this guy who, in this paper, covered the UFC when they'd never covered it before? What do you think happened? The story was huge. They did killer traffic. Now they're writing stories three a week, and they're posting live results. I don't give a what that guy thinks, what he has to say, or what he writes. Good for him. He's pulling good traffic.
Do you not worry about the
I don't give a.
Fair enough.
Don't give a.
I think my favorite part is that you hear the reporter in the middle say, "Fair enough." I don't give a. And honestly, when Dana White says it, I'm pretty confident that he doesn't. But he does enjoy these little rants, perfectly timed every now and then, because it gets him some extra FaceTime, shall we say. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Peyton Manning had plenty of FaceTime, plenty of mic time as part of the match, too. And while Tom Brady had to be muted a bunch, Peyton keeps it relatively clean. He let loose a little bit when he was talking about one of his alma mater, Tennessee's rivals.
You know, Tom and Phil kind of have matching outfits. They wanted, you know, if I'd want to wear black and red like Tiger, I'm like, I'm not wearing black and red. That's Georgia Bulldog colors. I mean, I just can't do that. I mean, if you want me to get sick on the first hole, I'll do it, but... You know, I'm not going to let Kirby Smart get a picture of me in black and red for their social media account.
Crazy that he would think about it to that extent, because I don't know that I would. Sometimes I do play-by-play for, you know, a particular school that's hired me, or I'm doing a game and I'm neutral, I'm not on either side, and I will wear the colors of a team and not even think about it. I'm just thinking about the outfit that will look best for TV. And here's Peyton Manning, who wears neon pink because it's no rival school's color. Peyton Manning from... the big event over the weekend, the match on TNT. Finally, we referenced it a few moments ago. Our fourth candidate for the After Hours Hall of Fame is Rays pitcher Blake Snell, who feels strongly about pay cuts.
Y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making shit. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that?
Rona?
That's in my body forever. That damage
Rona?
Is going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. Yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I make is way lower. Why would I think about doing that?
There is so much about that Blake Snell Twitch rant that drives me bonkers. His funny math, the fact that he's complaining about paying taxes. I mean, every American pays taxes. Why does that make you unique? How you're risking your life to play baseball. That one's pretty bad, too. And then he wants us to take him seriously when he calls it the Rona. The Rona? Oh, and now Scott Boras is his agent, if you want to tuck that away for future reference as well. Who should be the next inductee to the After Hours Hall of Fame? Dana White, Peyton Manning, Earl Thomas, because stuff like this happens, bro. Or Blake Snell, who doesn't want to get the Rona. You can vote on Twitter, After Hours CBS. I just retweeted. Also on our Facebook page, we'll reveal the results before the end of the show. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Snap. Gets it. just as the clock was ticking down. Now he's going to throw back shoulder over the top. Reaching up. Metcalf makes the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks. Reaching up over the defender in the back of the end zone.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel, the voice of the Seahawks radio network. It's our next guest, longtime defensive end in the NFL for both the Seahawks and the Lions. It was great to catch up with Cliff Averill in the last couple of days, and we so enjoyed our time with him at the Super Bowl that we thought it'd be fun to have him on the show again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Please vote in the After Hours Hall of Flame induction on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Cliff, we finally hit a bit of a lull with the NFL buzz after a couple of months and so much of the news and the storylines. How do you feel like the league navigated this weird spring?
You know, it's interesting. I was just having this conversation with a couple of my friends and just talking about the NFL, sports in general, but in particular the NFL. And it's interesting from the standpoint, like, the NFL is actually going about it as if nothing has changed. I mean, yes, you know, people aren't in the buildings and different things like that, but they're on Zoom calls. They're preparing for a season. You know, they're preparing as if it's going to be a normal season. And you know, you just hear about, again, like I just said, the Zoom calls. You hear about the virtual one-on-ones with the coaches and different things like that. They have adapted to this, and they feel like there's going to be a 2020 season. And they're until the president or somebody else says otherwise, they are going to have a season this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. It's like a freight train. They really don't slow down. But as you think about a virtual offseason, so for you, when you went through it with the Lions and the Seahawks, this was not something that you had to deal with. But what would be the most difficult part, the most challenging part for you of not being with your teammates during the spring?
I think the hardest piece is depends on where you're at in your career. You know, if you're a young player, I think this is the most pivotal time. This is how you get better. This is how you grow. This is how you figure out what being a pro is like. You know, the season's the easy part. It's preparing for the season that is hard, right? Getting, you know, making sure you know the verbiage on the defense or the offense, building that camaraderie, the thing that you can't necessarily do during the season. So I think that's hard. But as a veteran player and myself in particular, I didn't go to off-season workouts after year six. So it wouldn't have been a difference for me anyways, you know? So again, I just think it depends on where you're at in your career as far as for how this will affect you. And this is a young league. So I see it being very, very, it's on the other side of the coin for the young players right now. I don't think it's a good thing.
Why didn't you do the off-season stuff after year six? Why did you need it?
I mean, once you understand who you are as a football player, me as a pass rusher, I knew what I needed to work on. And also, I was living on the other side of the country. I lived in Charlotte while I played in Seattle. So I wanted family time. I wanted to be with my family, and I already knew how to kind of work out. And I knew what it took to be ready for the season. So it was all about family time and just working out on my own in Charlotte.
Cliff Averill is a former NFL defensive end with both the Lions and the Seahawks, as he mentioned, now joining us from Seattle after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. For young players who come in at your position, a pass rusher, what do you think will be the most difficult piece of not getting the reps in camp or, you know, in OTAs or in a rookie mini camp?
I think it's exactly what you just said, the reps. Because, I mean, it's one thing, you know, right now they're having these Zoom calls, and it's one thing for a coach to sit up there and tell you, hey, this is what you do, this is what the play call is, this is the technique, you know, from film study and all those different things. But those X's and O's, they move once they say hike. So how do I adjust when they say hike, when they snap that ball, how do I adjust, right? And not getting those reps, I think, is what hurts the guys. You know, it's easy to get the film study, the book study in, but getting the actual live reps, I think, goes a long way for younger players.
Mm. The Seahawks had Jadeveon Clowney on their roster last year. It's a guy that plays same position as you. How important was he to the Seahawks, Cliff?
Huge, huge. I think, you know, the pass rush, unfortunately, they didn't have much of it last year. And he was one of the bright stars on that, bright stars on the front line of that defense. And, you know, you've seen it in some of those games, right? You've seen it against San Francisco on one of those primetime games where he just completely took over. You know, sack fumbles, touchdowns, all these different things. Like, he completely took over. And that's extremely hard to do as a D lineman, right, to take over a game. So it shows you what he's able to do. It shows you the impact that he brings to a defense. And, you know, it's sad that he hasn't, you know, figure out what he's going to do, but also that the Seahawks haven't really tried to retain him to hopefully bring him back. But he definitely is a playmaker for sure on any defense, especially the Seahawks last year.
Do you think they should? Because the door is not completely closed. Do you think they should pursue him and bring him back on the roster?
I think for both sides, I think it's the best move, right? And I'm going to take it from Clowney's side first. I think for Clowney, and this just me being a person that's been through free agency and kind of got to pick where I got to go or whatnot, you know, when the market kind of dries up a little bit, like for Clowney, I'm assuming so since it's so late into the offseason, it dries up a little bit. There's a few teams that, you know, want you, but if you're not going to get the money that you wanted or the contract that you wanted, you're going to probably sign a short-term deal. So if I'm going to sign a short-term deal, I'm going to go back to the space where I know the defense, where I know I can be productive. I was just in that defense last year. I know the players around me. I know what that defense calls for me to do. I'm going to give myself the best opportunity to be able to go out there and perform at a high level. No new scheme, no new coaches. It's all the same. So I would say that's the best move for him, coming from my vantage point. But then also for the Seahawks, I mean, you've tried to replace them. You've gotten some draft picks. You went and got Bruce Irvin. You went and got a few pass rushers, you know, but a lot of young guys as well, a lot of guys that have big question marks, meaning you don't know what you're going to get from them, right? You don't know what you're going to get from these guys. So do you really go on – do you go into the season with, man, and also just the circumstances right now, you don't really get to see them develop right now either. Right. So do you go into a season with a bunch of question marks, or do you grab that one guy that you know what he brings to the table? You know, so I think both sides need each other.
Cliff, I wasn't really planning to ask you about this, but you mentioned your own process in free agency. If you could take us back to that, and it turned out to be incredible, right, because you win a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. But what was the determining factor or factors that led you to Seattle?
There's a few different things, but I would say the biggest thing coming to Seattle, you know, at that time they were on the rise. You know, they had a playoff run. They lost to Atlanta the year before. They were, you know, they were known for their defense at the time. The defense was really good. But, you know, it's the Pacific Northwest. That Pacific Northwest team out there, we it's still kind of iffy. You know, being in Detroit, you didn't really catch too many of their games or any of that stuff. But as a defensive player, I knew what they were able to do. And at the time, you hear talking about Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Brandon Brown, or Cam Chancellor, all these guys on the back end, LOB, and you hear all this throughout the league. And for me, I knew if my DBs were pretty good, that would give me a split second longer to be able to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the main defining reasons why I decided to come to Seattle, was because I knew I would have the opportunity to be able to get after the quarterback, get a split second longer to get after the quarterback so I can have some production.
He's a Super Bowl champ, was with the Seahawks and the Lions as a defensive end. Cliff Averill, I guess I should say your name. Cliff Averill, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So you're still in Seattle, Cliff. Why did you stay? I can hear your, you know, kiddos in the background there.
yes, kids are definitely at home right now. You know, I moved to Seattle for multiple reasons. Obviously, winning the Super Bowl in a city and playing, you know, a decent role in that process. I think the big, you know, it's only right, you know, to come out here from that perspective. But also, you know, in Seattle, you get to meet so many different people. So many different people are doing well in whatever sector they're in. You know, the tech industry here is booming. There's just a wide range of different connections and networks that you can make out here. And for me, I think it just made sense from a transition standpoint to just move back out here and still have that network, but also that family feel, because I can still go to the, you know, Seahawks facility and still, you know, talk to Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, you know, Cam Chancellor and all those guys, they moved out here. Richard Sherman lives out here. So just keeping that family closeness, I guess, with all these people, you know, plays a big role in why I wanted to be out here as well.
It's crazy to think about when you and I crossed paths at the Super Bowl. Now, this was in Miami, of course, and it was it was actually late January. So last week of January, and couldn't have been farther away from, you know, where you are in Seattle now. And we have a chance to sit down, do an interview. The Chiefs go on to win this incredible Super Bowl, the comeback over the Niners, and then in the blink of maybe a couple of weeks, things completely change. When you think about that, what's your perspective?
It's crazy. I mean, you talk about that, just being in February, you know, and then a few weeks later, you're like, oh, the whole country, the whole world is on lockdown, you know, and it feels like it's been so long ago too, right? A lot of people have been in the house. I know we've been quarantined for the last 3 months, basically, right? And so much is going on, like so much has changed, I guess, even in the way we do communication and all these different things. It's just crazy. But I will say that at least out here, and you know, I have family in Florida, which they're handling it completely different from out here in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. But I will say it's great to see families just walking around. You know, I go out my neighborhood and everybody's going on walks. Everybody's, you know, going on bike rides. I think this was needed from the perspective of slowing things down for people and getting back to the fundamentals of what life is really about, which is pouring into your kids, which is pouring into your family, being there for them, and the things that really matter, which is them, you know. And that's kind of been my approach through this whole process is I'm embracing it because it gives me a time to slow things down, but also just being around my family. And it made me realize, like, man, a lot of people spend more time with my kids than I do. You know, when you think about how they're in school and different things like that. It's like, oh no, I need to be more of an impact in my kids' life. So it just slowed things down and it made you value it a little bit more.
How old are your kids?
I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh my gosh. And have they really enjoyed having you home?
I think they did initially, but then when they start realizing they're not going back to school and yes, daddy said you need to do this. No, you can't play with your iPad. You know, you start to get the looks like, what do you mean I can't play with my iPad? You know, type thing. But I think on the back end though, it'd be, you know, 5 years from now, like, remember the time we all, you know, used to do movie night every other night or whatever, whatever theme we have for the day. I think those memories are being created.
Cliff, before I let you go, you and your family have the Cliff Averill Family Foundation. It's certainly a unique time for charities and for foundations as well. What ways have you found to kind of help out and to kind of, pitch in during the spring?
Oh, man. Myself, Jamal Crawford, Zach Levine, there's been a few different pro athletes that have done some things here in the city of Seattle. But we all decided to partner up and pick out different organizations that we were going to donate money to. So for me in particular, my foundation, and then personally, I donated $25,000. My foundation donated $25,000. And we went to a few different organizations, one in particular, the Boys and Girls Club of King County. They were providing food for kids that were out of school the month of April. So we decided we were going to pay for all the kids' meals for the month of April because we assumed that they were going to go back to school in April until they said they weren't sending the kids back. But it was all about more so just worrying about the kids, because a lot of kids in the inner city right now, you know, they depend on the food at school. Obviously learning is a big part of it, but you know, breakfast and lunch was a big part of their day as well. So I wanted to make sure that they didn't skip a beat from at least getting their meals for the day, and just being able to help some of the families out as well.
You can find Cliff on Twitter at Cliff Averill, and then also the link to his family foundation if you want to learn more. And which one of your kids is that with you in the photo?
Oh, that's my oldest, I believe, in the photo. That's my oldest. He's gone to every single football game.
Aww.
My youngest, he just started getting into it, and then obviously I had to retire or whatnot. But, my babies. Back to the Family Foundation, though. Yes, check out Cliff Averill, familyfoundation.org, to see all the different things that we're doing in the community through the COVID relief and some of the things we've been doing in the past as well.
no better way to help people than to offer them meals. I mean, that's the most basic need that we have as human beings. So, Cliff, it's great to talk to you. Yeah, and we're happy to share this, and we appreciate a couple of minutes. And maybe next time we'll get to cross paths in person again. We'll be through all of this.
I agree. Stay safe out there. Stay healthy, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Cliff Averill, a conversation that we had recently, and in Seattle, love to hear him talk about why he stayed. He actually moved cross country after he finished playing. He was living in Charlotte. He was playing in Seattle, won a Super Bowl, really fell in love with the community, and decided that that's where he wanted to raise his kiddos. And so really cool to talk to him. And then while so many athletes and celebrities and those who have the opportunity are using their foundations to provide relief during the spring, it's awesome to hear about Cliff's foundation that's directly feeding kiddos and families who are struggling because of lost jobs and lost income. So awesome to talk to Cliff. And we really just had this moment where we kind of had to pinch ourselves. Wait a minute, we spoke not that long ago. Well, it seems like it wasn't that long ago. And it was in Miami. And that's when we met for the first time. And he was on the show. And now, wow, 3 months ago. And yet so much has changed in these few short months. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you miss any of our interviews or any of the show, we podcast the entire thing without breaks every weekday morning. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our Twitter. And then you could go directly to the website, afterhoursamylawrence.com. We're asking you to vote for the latest Hall of Fame inductee. We've got four very worthy candidates. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, named after the show. And then our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Still to come on the show, Mark Vaccaro, who covers New York baseball. And the baseball landscape in general is just odd and weird, and everybody's got opinions and wanting to weigh in. Plus, we've got some QB news still ahead. We're glad to hear from you, as always, 855-212-4CBS. 2 hours left in our work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.